You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Talking Sex. And it is an adult radio segment, but it involves children. So, yeah, it's a difficult conversation, but it is an important one in which hopefully, not hopefully, I know we're going to empower you to think through children's sexuality. Good morning, Dr. Eve.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I'm so pleased to hear that. Have you had a good week?
I did, yeah, I did all sorts of things, including my first hosting of a virtual conference with no human beings physically present, yeah. Which was really, really interesting. Talk about new normals.
Oh, goodness. Did it give you any pleasure?
Not as much pleasure as this segment. Can't tell you how many people look forward to it every single week. Last week, you and I couldn't get to a big final segment.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is that we have turned it into the entire theme for today.
Yes, very importantly so. So what I thought, I think it's important that we talk about, or that I read out once again, what the declaration of pleasure is, sexual pleasure is, just to contextualize for people. And then we're going to get into our specific area, which is looking and talking about children's sexual pleasure and their rights to sexual pleasure.
Yes, and this is a letter. I didn't know people still write letters in this day and age. A letter, a letter to parents that you can find on Dr. Eve's blog, dreve.co.za. Let's get straight into it, Dr. Eve. You'll lead us.
All right. I do want to just read out a piece of the declaration where this is, so that people get a context. This was a declaration on sexual pleasure, which was presented at the Mexico City World Congress of Sexual Health in 2019. And what they recognize, and I'm reading directly from the declaration, is that sexual pleasure is the physical and or psychological satisfaction and enjoyment derived from shared or solitary erotic experiences, including thoughts, fantasies, dreams, emotions, and feelings. Self-determination, consent, safety, privacy, confidence, and the ability to communicate and negotiate sexual relations are key enabling factors for pleasure to contribute to sexual health and well-being. Sexual pleasure should be exercised within the context of sexual rights, particularly the rights to equality and non-discrimination, autonomy and bodily integrity, the right to the highest attainable standard of health and freedom of expression. The experience of human sexual pleasure are diverse, and sexual rights ensure that pleasure is a positive experience for all concerned and not obtained by violating other people's human rights and well-being. And I want our listeners to think about that in the context of their children. Self-determination around their own sexuality, consent, safety, privacy, confidence, and ability to communicate and negotiate safely their sexual relationships in non-coercive ways. And the question we're asking is, how much, how often, if at all, are you educating your children around their right to sexual pleasure? And you see, because I know people are going to be feeling perhaps a little defensive or even alarmed as we introduce the concept of pleasure into sexuality, which is an essential one, as been proven by the declaration, which has been based on many years of research. I don't want people to be alarmed. We want people to draw closer to us today, not further away. This isn't about accusing you or giving your children permission. This is about really teasing out what pleasure is all about. And pleasure isn't only what you perhaps as an adult imagine it to be, which is just basically penile-vaginal penetration in a very monoheteronormative way. It is so much else that gives people pleasure and will give your children pleasure from the moment that they are born. You touch them in ways that give them pleasure. You talk to them in ways that make them feel pleased. So it's important to include this in the education that you're going to give them around their sexuality. And we'll talk about what are the things that children long to know about. Mm. What is it that they really want to know about, so that you can feel safe having this conversation with us today.
When we talk about children, what age groups are we talking about? When people have moral panic when this topic comes up, like when we've discussed teen sexuality before, one of the first issues that come up is that we tend to reproduce our own experiences. And if you were raised conservatively, no one spoke to you about sex, sexuality, let alone sexual pleasure, when you were a children, then you don't necessarily have the experiential knowledge with which to tackle this topic, which is why this is a beautiful conversation that you've opened up, Dr. Eve. But let's go to the comfortable questions immediately. One question is just around, what is age appropriate? At what point can I even talk about sex and sexuality and sexual pleasure to my child? At what age is a little human being entitled to long for the answers to the questions that we are going to frame on their behalf in a second?
The education starts from birth, in the way that you touch and caress and oil their skin and put on their diapers, the way that you bathe them, the way you handle them, mostly how you eye gaze them, you look at them, you talk to them, you soothe them. That gives them a sense of, and I'm using the word sense, a sensation of pleasure. Mm. And it's about sensation. It's not about genitals only. That does bring sensation and brings pleasure, and kids feel that pleasure from the moment that they start to self-pleasure and to masturbate themselves. That gives them pleasure. And in that place, when you come across them masturbating as young children, 3, 4, 5, 6, however old they are, playing together, you want to acknowledge, this feels nice, this gives you pleasure, and then you put in your values and your boundaries around that. It's the acknowledgement of pleasure that they're entitled to, rather than the fear-based approach that's normally been taken. Pleasure also needs to be weaved into everyday life, just like a conversation of sexuality, where what's feeling nice for you today? What gave you pleasure today? Take it out of the context of traditional sex as we imagine it. Take it out of that context so that they get used to being given permission to feel nice, to be feeling pleasure out of things that they eat and things that they hear, things that they see, touches that they experience. That's where the conversation goes. They learn, unfortunately, Eusebius, about penile-vaginal sex as being the only kind of normal sex, unfortunately, and they learn that. Not from parents, unfortunately, again, I say that. But as we well know, from age 9, they're exposed to porn, to sexual abuse even younger, to hearing stories from their peers, to their own sexual experiences. So they will go, yuck, when you begin to have that sex conversation, if you do, and I hope you don't, with, well, do you know how babies are made? Or let me tell you about sex. They don't want to know that. What they long to know is about love, about relationships, about how to be safe in the world, especially in this world, especially this week, right? This is, absolutely, I use every opportunity. We take George Floyd and we talk about that in a way which is talking about non-pleasure and things that don't pleasure us. You know, we expand it so that people and children of all ages get an understanding of how and where we are pleasured and what brings us pleasure into our bodies. We're working with bodies, and that makes us feel uncomfortable and lacking pleasure in our bodies, and what will give us pleasure in our bodies. And that's what pleasure talk is about, and expands into safer sexual and relational opportunities for our children of all ages.
Hmm. Okay, well, talk to us. You've been at home. Maybe you've been doing some homeschooling. Many of you have been proud about how you have come to appreciate and struggle how difficult it is to even attempt to be a substitute for the teachers in your children's lives. And maybe you've dealt with, I don't know, subjects involving, as Dr. Eve says, CROSA, geography, maths. But what about key questions around sex and sexuality? How ready are you to be the guidance teacher at home? Have you had these conversations? How have they played out? Is this conversation jarring for you already as we have framed it, even though Dr. Eve is doing so with characteristic love and care in the word choices and the tone that we have set up? We'd like to hear from you. Perhaps you have children, teenagers, prepubescent one even, who are asking you questions. Are you equipped to be able to deal with their questions? How are you doing so? Is there advice that you'd like to ask? Or perhaps you want to share what has worked in your relationship with the children in your life? We We would dearly love to hear from you on 011-883-0702, 011-883-0702.
702.
Talking Six.
Should one initiate the conversations or should you be reactive when it comes to children and sexuality?
Oh, please, please initiate it. Children long to hear parents being the ones to navigate that conversation. Don't anticipate, I mean, two things that we really do want to accept. Don't anticipate or expect that your child is not being sexual, whatever way or form, and don't expect that your child is being sexual in whatever way or form, because there's enormous pressure as well if you do say, oh, you know, here are the condoms for you, because this is an age where you might want to be sexual. Let me put you onto the pill because I think that, you know, you might be at risk of being sexual right now. We want to assume that we as adults have got that responsibility to weave it into our sex education curricula, into the conversation you're having with children. It's just there. The teachable moments are there all the time. Instead of the punishing around watching them, catching them out playing, being online with porn, you really want to weave in the conversations as early as possible. You've got to initiate it. They're not going to come to you and say, you know, tell me about this, or how does that work, or this guy didn't want to go down on me, but he made me go down on him. You know, we don't want to wait for that. You want to have an open conversation, open communication. They can come to you when they feel wobbly and they feel uncertain. It's so much in the body, you see this. It's so much about admiring their child's body. And as you'll see, as you did read in the blog, one of the biggest difficulties for young girls and girls of all sexual orientations and genders is their story with their bodies. Hmm. And because they don't grow up in a world where their bodies are admired and appreciated and acknowledged by their caretakers and by their parents. And that's something which children long to hear, long to get that. And what they do instead is they turn for validation, for that pleasurable feeling of acceptance, to others and put themselves at risk. And especially, I'm repeating, young girls and also non-binary and differently gendered people put themselves at huge risk just to get that from entitled boys. That's not pleasurable. That's unsafe for kids. And so that's a very important conversation to have. I mean, my goodness, everyone's in front of Netflix right now. And there is such a diversity of material on Netflix, of content, that your kids are watching, that you can be watching with them or separately, and bringing in the discourse of incredible gender diversity and fluidity of sexual orientation. And what brings them pleasure? What do they find is pleasurable while they're watching and listening, or what feels uncomfortable for them?
Absolutely. 011-883-0702. Anne, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so happy you're having this conversation. And I'm calling in as a young mom. I have a child quite young, and I'm raising him from a perspective of where I was raised. And so he's 6, turning 7, and he started kind of doing stuff. And it was very uncomfortable. I thought as a young mom, I would be, you know, geared up to have conversations with him about different topics. And growing in, you know, this day and age, I thought I'd be so comfortable, but I'm so uncomfortable having conversations with him. And I don't know the right language to use. And I don't know if it's normal. I mean, I've been doing a lot of research and I see that it's normal, but it's still difficult for a parent, your own child, engaging in pleasure just based on how it was described, or when I was growing up, how it was categorized. So I just want to say thank you so much for having this topic. It's going to help me so, so much, because there's not many people I can get advice from. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne. What were your experiences as a kid? Was there open communication with adults in your life?
No. No open communication at all. My mother was a teacher, a very strict teacher, and we never had conversations with her about that. And she wasn't a very affectionate person. So affection isn't a familiar thing for me. And so I try to practice differently with my son, but it can be really difficult because of just how I was raised.
Hmm. What I want you to do right now, I can't see you. I want you to put your hand on your heart.
Yes.
And I want you to acknowledge to yourself that you are suffering in trying to have this conversation. Yes. And at the same time, I want you to also feel enormous pride that you phoned in and you're acknowledging it publicly. And that you are really struggling. And in other words, yeah. I want you to have compassion with yourself for how difficult this is for you.
Yeah.
Let's just start there. Because what I'm hearing is criticism of yourself, not doing well enough, feeling guilty, feeling shameful, that you're feeling the way you do. So I just want to acknowledge that in you. It is desperately uncomfortable to see your child masturbating. Desperately uncomfortable. Come on.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And no matter how fantastic you are at intellectually having done the research and making up your mind that you were going to do it differently to the way that you were raised, oh my goodness, in the moment, it feels desperately, desperately uncomfortable for you. So just acknowledge that. And once you can do that, you will then be able to be present with us and hear what I'm saying to you now, that this doing stuff with your child is doing is what children are supposed to do. So he sounds like a really healthy young boy. And your block, it sounds, is to have the conversation with him. You don't have the conversation with him. No one should be having the conversation with their child. It's way too difficult for anyone to do, and it doesn't impact on them. What will impact on him, as I was saying to you, CBS, earlier, is for you to say to him, I notice that you enjoy touching yourself. It feels great. Do it when you're alone. Do it when you want to go to sleep. Do it when you're bored. Keep it in that place. And then you distract him and you move on to something else which will give him pleasure.
Yeah.
How does that feel? How does that feel for you right now? You have your hand on your heart and in your body. How does that feel for you?
It feels really emotional, but also very good. Just to know that I'm not alone. It's not just my son. It's a normal thing, and I just have to be open to it and empower him, I guess, with the right ways or the right spaces to be able to express himself or enjoy that time with himself.
Absolutely.
Your first task, Anne, and for all our listeners, because you see this, I think this is a question or concern that most everyone has, and which is why I'm lingering with Anne. Your first task, always, Anne, and you know this, I'm sure, in raising your child, is to calm yourself down.
Mm.
It's for you to find a calm way of looking and dealing with his masturbation and his sexuality. And when you can do that, he will feel that calmness from you. And there will be no discharging of negative, unpleasurable emotions around his sexuality here going forward.
Mm.
Children mirror their parents' facial expressions and gestures and tone. So that's your task, is to keep yourself calm.
Mm. Mm. Beautiful. Thank you, Anne. Thanks so much for that. Nandi, thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Eusebius. How are you?
Good, thank you, Nandi. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Hi, Dr. Eve.
Hi, Nandi. Welcome.
Yeah. So I was just saying, so for me, the conversation started when my son was about 2.5, when he came back from daycare, and he gave us a blow-by-blow account of how mommies and daddies do it at the dinner table while I was there with his grandparents. Being a queer mom, a single mom, I was just like, okay, I'm not sure where you're getting this. And it took me a minute to be just like, okay, I'm not sure where you saw that, and had to have a conversation with him at that point.
Mm.
And it was, it took a few days until, he told me what happened, which was one of his schoolmates. gave them this account because he shared a bedroom with his parents, and his parents, when his parents thought he was asleep, he was watching them. And he, I mean, it was a very explicit, because I had to be like, what do you mean mommies and daddies do it? And it's like, well, the daddy kisses the mommy, and then the mommy kisses the daddy, and he went through the whole thing. You know, they get undressed, and then they do it. And we've got goats. We live on a small farm, a small holding. Mm. And it's like, mommy, like the goats and the dogs do it outside. And then mommy and daddies do it. And it's like, okay, time to have this conversation. And it's never stopped. I mean, he's 13. We were talking about this with a few of my friends when he was about 10 or 11, started talking to him about things like, you know, pornography, that, you know, because he's on devices, you know, those things are out there, so he must be aware of them, and having these honest conversations around, like, what you see, because I'm not always with him, so I know at some point he's going to look at pornography. I was like, you know, what you see on pornography is not how consensual sexual relations happen between people. But, you know, and consistently having these conversations with him at different ages about, as, you know, as he's become a teenager, about masturbation, about weight gain. Mm. And these are very, very important conversations that we as parents need to have. A couple of weeks ago on a Facebook page called African Mamas, we were talking about this. One of the moms was talking to us about how her three-year-old likes to play with his penis, and people were just like upset that, you know, you're promoting this. It's like, and we're trying to explain to them that this is normal. You know, she just needs to let her son know that he needs to do this in private spaces. But, you know, a number of the moms were like, you know, trying to shame her into saying that she's a bad mom by not stopping her son from playing with his penis.
Yo, there's so much there to respond to, Nandi. I'm going to put you back because I want to bring you back in a minute or so after Tara's given us news headlines. Thank you for your generosity, for sharing so much. There's a lot that comes up for me, and I'm sure for Dr. Eve as well. And with your permission, I'll keep you on call, and then we'll bring you back in a minute or two.
702. Talking Sex.
26 minutes before noon, and we already have a really beautiful, rich conversation around a letter that Dr. Eve wrote on her blog. Really important that you read it and go back to it. A letter to parents in relation to children's sexual pleasure. I want to play a voice note that has come through. We've lost, I think, our last caller. In fact, before we do that, I just wanted to honor the mom that called in, Dr. Eve, before I forget that moment. So a couple of things come up for me. I mean, the first is how much she embraced the opportunity to talk to the son about what has happened. The fact that there's an online community is another beautiful point. And I hope that she had come and other moms to the defense of the mom that was being ridiculously shamed by those who think that you should stop children from expressing their sexuality and enjoying sexual pleasure. And what I wanted to ask her, which is one of the reasons I wanted to keep on, for me, you know, if my son comes back from school and has picked up on all these other things that they didn't get from my home, it's also an opportunity to expand what is normative in terms of what you give your child permission to think through, because the idea of a mom and a dad that is bonking, that then becomes the story in the class, is a very mono-heteronormative model. Quite frankly, that for me was more problematic than the fact that it was time to have the conversation.
Yeah, two things come up for me. The one is that, well, first of all, just to acknowledge her, we always want to do that because she's doing such a beautiful job and she's confident and she's calm. You can hear, I can understand why her little boy wants to talk to her big boy now, because she's sounding confident and courageous in herself. First thing is a great lesson for parents that when your child does come to you, if your child does come to you, listen to your child. Take them seriously, as Nandi did, and follow up the thread of where did you hear or see or learn about that, because it could be your child's way of saying, I'm experiencing it for myself. So she did really well in following that through and taking a few days to be able to do that. That's the first thing. The second thing is exactly what you said, Eusebius. I'm calling it values, that we do not constrict and restrict our children by just staying in the monoheteronormative model. And we do talk about values. And it's such a beautiful opportunity to talk about diversity and to also to talk about things like consent. I mean, there's just all of the messaging, all of the rights from the Declaration of Sexual Pleasure come into this. This is a beautiful opportunity to be able to say that. And, you know, if it is your morality or your value that it is only between a man and a woman, that's fine. But you do want to let them know that there are other forms of sexuality and that there are other bodies who are moving in different rhythms together.
Absolutely. Let's have a listen to this voice note.
Eusebius and Dr. Eve, how's it? I consider myself to be a very liberal and open-minded individual, but I must say, when it comes to matters of sex and sexuality and having to speak about them to my child, the conservatism with which I was raised with just gives me a brain freeze. Kindly please suggest skills that would enable me to do this.
I love your honesty, saying that you get a brain freeze. I'm chuckling partly because I'm thinking about the skills, if only one can go and buy them at Willy's right now. And take them off the shelf, because skills are things that need to be developed. They need to be developed, and that takes time and practice and habit forming.
I'm laughing out loud, actually, because you know what? I can so relate to that. I'm also a really progressive liberal person, but when it came to my children and their sexuality, yeah, I think they were kind of the oldest virgins in their classes, you know. I was pretty conservative in that way. Well, pretty valued in terms of values and that. So I so love the brain freeze. And that's what you mostly have to do. And I think you can hear the thread. I'm hoping the listeners are getting the thread of what I'm putting across, that the most important skill you need to learn as a parent is your own self-care, is your own self-compassion, is your own self-calming before you engage in any conversation or any sharing with your child around sexuality. That is what they will pick up the most, is your own reactivity, your own gestures, tone of voice. When it comes to watching something on TV, reading anything, they pick up on that. So your absolute obligation is to be able to self-soothe your way so that they feel that sexuality is pleasurable, and sharing it with them in that way. But there are beautiful resources and beautiful books available. And if you go through my blogs, and we've spoken about children's sexuality before, I've given a lot of lists of resources over there. So they are available.
Absolutely. Angelo, thank you so much for calling in.
Good day to you and to the doctor. I had two little children, and when they were, you know, when I was at the age to bath them, I would say to my son, eventually, please wash your penis. I said to my daughter, please wash your vagina. And they accepted that. And eventually, I was asked the question, where did that come from? I said, a man's penis goes in the woman's vagina, and the sperm from the man and the egg from the woman, a baby is made, and the baby is born. And they accepted that quite openly. I could see it was normal. I corrected normal things with them. Not that the store came and dropped them off. And eventually, when they grew up, especially my son, my daughter veered more to the mother, which is normal. And my son, I got a book from the library, and he knew exactly, eventually, the function of the woman's body. And I said, what are you reading? And he showed me, and he told me exactly from menstruation, how the woman falls pregnant, from the ovary, et cetera, et cetera. So I find if you speak normal to children, quite openly, to them, their sense of logic is accepted. Okay, and then they grow up, and eventually you can say to them, look, and my son came to me at the age of 13, he said, Dad, Why is it boys at school, their parents don't talk about sex? I said, I have no idea. Maybe they don't know how to. Then he said to me, what is a blowjob? And I had to explain to him the difference between oral sex and sex. And the minute you say that to children, it's accepted. I didn't have a problem with pornography in my household. I think it's quite boring pornography, but it's a function for people to have it. But I maintain when children ask a question and you answer a logical question, they accept it logically. And it's fine. I don't have a problem to have spoken to them about you've got a penis and you've got a vagina. No. They saw me bathing, they saw my wife bathing, and what did they see? A body with a penis and a vagina. All right? What's the problem?
Dr. Eve?
So I'm going to acknowledge you, Angela, for your pride. I can hear your pride, and you should have pride that you're comfortable and you did your best with opening up a difficult conversation with your children. I would like to update you. And I don't know how old your children are now, but maybe for your grandchildren. Okay, so let's say for your grandchildren one day, things have changed a little since then. That, first of all, the vagina, we call it a vulva. Vagina is just one part of the vagina, one part of the vulva. And then there is just way more to sex than penile vaginal penetration. You know, this is the opportunity to talk about love and pleasure and dangers Yeah, you know, all of that stuff needs to come in. And then also today, it's not just a normal thing where that's how babies are made. Because in fact, a lot of babies are made in a petri dish. A lot of babies are made between two women and two men who love each other and either get surrogates or they find other ways of being pregnant. So this isn't, you know, it's all assisted reproductive techniques today which are used. So this needs to be added in to what is normal, because there isn't anything really normal anymore. So just to broaden and expand a little bit would be good, and also move out of the heteronormative model, because as I'm saying, so many, you know, single people are having children on their own as well. So it's just bringing in diversity, because one day one of your kids might find, you know, your son might find that actually I'm bisexual or I'm gay or I'm transgendered, and you want to have the opportunity that he has the knowledge for that as well, that it isn't just in one silo. But otherwise, you know, great that you can communicate with them.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for that, Angela. Much appreciated. Zaroli, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Mrs. Good morning, Dr. Eve. A quick question as to at what age would one say is a suitable age to start having the talk with children? I mean, thinking about myself, I turned 30 in December, and I'm yet to have the sex conversation with my mother. And mind you, it's not to say I haven't dabbled in that department, but I think as a black female or within the black community, which also goes back to the voice note you've just played with you, it's not very common culturally that we would have these kind of talks with our parents. And I think it is quite an injustice, because I feel as though your previous caller, I mean, the way in which he spoke about sex with his children, good Lord, if I had the opportunity to have that kind of chat with my parents as a teenager or whatever it might be, I'm sure it would have helped me to a certain degree, I don't know. But I also feel, God forbid, if I'm to have this kind of chat with my teenage nephew or even, I don't know, any teenager, a cousin or whatever at this current moment, I wouldn't even know how to bring it up or how to pose it, because as a black female, unfortunately, we haven't been exposed to, you know, those kind of talks. And another point as well, probably not related to children and sexuality talks, is the whole talk on masturbation, for example. So I was brought up as a Christian, and Children's Day, in my head, whenever I think about masturbation, or God forbid, should I try it out, as a Christian, I was brought up being told that should one masturbate, you're somewhat inviting a demon in, or you're opening yourself up to that kind of, you know, I don't know, demonic exposure sexually and all of that. So I feel not only as a black female have we been, or black person actually, have we been disadvantaged in having those kind of sexual talks as children or with our children, but I think from a religious point of view as well, sex is just taboo, and yeah, it's just one of those things.
Thank you for that, Zeroli. And I want to acknowledge you grappling with those sort of deep cultural and religious roots that we all have that shape our attitudes towards sex and sexuality, and therefore from a parenting and a guidance point of view, the relationships we have with children, including what conversations we will have with them about sexuality, if any, and how those conversations will go, both in terms of tone and in terms of content. What comes up for you, Dr. Eve, as you listen to Zeroli?
Mostly what comes up is her saying 3-4 times, as a black female, and I want to acknowledge you in that space, because it's very relevant that black females, as we know, are the most marginalized people in our community. Therefore, the risks for you to talk about sexuality, to engage in sexual pleasure, are really high and maybe unattainable. So we do want to put that into the mix as you ponder and as you struggle to know how to have the conversation. And as I've been saying the whole show, I do want to assure you, you don't have to have the conversation. It's using moments that are around you by inquiring and being curious about your nephews or your nieces. That's a way to engage with them around what is happening in their intimate lives. Who are they loving? Who are they hanging out with? Who are they crushing on? Who are they following? What are they listening to? What TV series are they watching? Getting their ideas. They will have the conversation with you. You don't have to be the expert here. All you have to do is to be a present person, a present adult who is curious and letting them know that you are there for them as a support and as a person who can not shame them, and even share your story just like you have with us. That is proven through research to be the most effective way actually of engaging children when you go to what we call the Me Too place. The Me Too place of, you know, when I was your age, there was no way I could have a sexual conversation because this is what was happening in my family. Share that with them. Just share your experience, and then you'll see, or come back and they'll say, oh, wow, you know, we saw masturbation on porn. I don't think it's demonic at all. I think it's kind of cool. And you'll say, yeah, it is. It's really pleasurable. But this is what happened to me when I was young.
Absolutely. Good advice. Let's take a break. They're fogging good.
702 Talking Sex.
Karabo, thank you so much for calling in.
Hi, Yubi and Dr. Eve. Great show.
Thank you, Karabo. Go ahead.
I am having heart palpitations. Okay, I'm close to collapsing. I have a 12-year-old little girl, and recently I found out that she's had a crush on a boy. I almost died. Two questions. Having grown up in KwaZulu-Natal, raised by a grandmother who is very conservative, how do I even start to begin to have a conversation with her to say that it is okay to like a boy? What do you do when you like a boy? What to expect, number one? And number two, having the sex talk, am I not encouraging her to engage in sexual relations? Or do I assume and trust that she is responsible enough to have the conversation with me first, and also that she will not until much later in her life when she can make proper decisions for herself. I'll listen on the radio.
Thank you, Karabo. I'm chuckling at the beauty. You know what? I'm chuckling at just the beauty of mom worried that eventually a child will have sex. At some point, the child is going to have sex, we hope, because it's an important part of being human. And I've learned so much from Dr. Eve over the years, both as a broadcaster and as a listener when Reedy was doing the show, that it is fundamentally about values, values, values. And not a question of whether she will have sex, but when she does, whether she will be able to negotiate her sexuality in such a way that it brings her joy and expands her experience of the human condition. And that's easier said than done, though, because I don't have any children, Dr. Eve.
Yeah, but you're right. You're absolutely on the button around that. This is the first thing that I heard from Karabo was her heart palpitations.
Yes.
And my darling, that's what your child's going to hear. I'm going to keep coming back. And, you know, as I've discussed with Laura, you know, I'm becoming certified as a trauma practitioner. So you're all going to hear a lot about self-soothing and compassion, because that's where it starts. That's where it begins, is that you've got to stop those heart palpitations, because when she looks at you and she talks about her crush or she's crushing on the guy, she doesn't want to look at your face and see that you're having heart palpitations. She wants to see a smiling mom who is remembering her own crushes and can embrace that with pleasure and hug your child and say, wow, this feels fabulous. I wish I felt that way still. This is just marvelous feeling to have. Now let's talk more about, you know, your crush. Let the child talk to you. Let the child have the conversation with you. You know what the thread is that I'm hearing today, you see, is that people are terrified still of the talk. Let's do away with that notion.
Even that reference to it, yeah.
Yeah, let's just do away with it, because that's putting a lot of pressure on people. There isn't any talk to be having. And the second part that she raises so importantly, am I encouraging her to engage in sexuality if I do have this conversation with her? The answer to that is absolutely not. Pleasure does not equal permission in any way whatsoever. In fact, talking about your child lowers your child's risk for being sexual at an early age. And believe it or not, that's what we're all trying to do, is to lower the debut of our children's, increase the debut of their first sexual activity or first sexual penetration. 12-year-olds, I'm sure if there wasn't lockdown, they would be hugging and kissing and caressing. And depending on, you know, what else is going to be, the boy might be pressuring or the girl might be pressuring. Oh, she's got a crush on a boy. You know, he may be pressuring her to touch her, to touch him. Those things are real at 12. They're going to come up. She's not going to just wait for the big moment when she turns 18 to have her first sex. This is what sexuality is. She's going to be kissing. That's sex. So you want to talk about that for her, about what is she dreaming of? And to put in the values of consent and safety and attraction and all of those values that we keep talking about, the body, those things are what you talk about.
Absolutely. What a beautiful conversation. If you want to read that letter slowly again, go to dreve.co.za. Then just you can go to the blog button and have a listen back there to some of the wonderful playbooks that are embedded, but also beyond that, you can just read today's entry that has been the basis of this 1 hour lovely conversation. Dr. Eve, we'll do it again. Have a wonderful weekend and week ahead.
Thank you. And just to say to people, if you do want this, please, and all my other 3 times a week free emails, just email me, dreve@dreve.co.za, and you will get a whole lot of information plus this. Bye, sweetie. Have a restful weekend. Take care of yourself.